Hey, this is Livy spilling all the political tea. Straight politics, no chaser. You know, the go-to for all your political needs. Think the Bodega Boys, but political. It's millennial politics served piping hot. Just like me, this episode is indeed worth the wait. It's the day of the inauguration, around 2:40 a.m. And the last few moments of peace and sanity in this country we will probably ever see in our lifetime. Think about that. Because if Trump has his way, he plans on remaining president forever, so he does not go to jail. So might as well debrief the gravest, most consequential mistake this country has ever made, right? Speaking of mistakes, see how Democrats didn't storm the Capitol on Saturday? Very demure, very classy, very respectful, very patriotic, very democratic. Now, you're probably wondering why this episode took so long to come. Like, Election Day was exactly 76 days ago. Well, like many Black women, and I think I could speak for all of us, honey, toots, baby, I had no words. Let me repeat, I had no words. But I got some for you today. So let's get into it. Since half the country is in flames and the other half is an icicle, and folks still don't believe in climate change and global warming, huh? Sidebar. Those fires in Cali are a mix between an insurance Ponzi scheme, someone's blatant ignorance, like a cigarette ash or something, and whitelash, aka racism, aka rezoning. It's funny because Trump got elected and I said, send the rapture. The universe instead sent the fiery flames, y'all, and an Arctic blast simultaneously. Well, God don't like ugly. No religion would co-sign a demagogue being re-elected. It's literally the end of time. Oh, and I see y'all out there trying to blame a Black woman for the fires in Cali, a whole natural or maybe not so natural reoccurring disaster. Y'all don't deserve Mayor Karen Bass, just like y'all don't deserve Kamala. There, I said it. There's literally not enough water in the region, not in the state, the whole region, to quell the fire. What do y'all want her to do? Drain the ocean? She proposed a 2.7 reduction in spending, about $23 million of the already $950 million budget for the fire department. Big whoop-de-doo. More money will not solve this problem. But in actuality, the fire department budget was increased by $18 million this year. Be fucking for real and make it make sense. Y'all love throwing Black women to the wolves. And I know someone from a family that voted for Trump broke rules by using millions of gallons of water when the city forbid it and hired their own fire department to ensure their homes weren't engulfed. Doesn't have something to say about the Black woman mayor. I know better, right? Sip that tea. Anyways, back to the order of business because I'm here for one reason and one reason only today, to curse you motherfuckers out. You motherfuckers have fucked up royally, and I'm going to explain to you exactly how America with 3 Ks has done it. Once again, I sat in front of my TV on election night in true horror and dismay. At around 9:30, 10 p.m., I decided to save myself the disappointment and went to sleep. Once again, I watched as the map turned red, as my country forsaked me again. Oh, and let me just preface this episode with, I'm cussing today, boy, because a lot of you motherfuckers, 90 million to be exact, need to be cursed the fuck out. And y'all need your ass whooped, to be honest, just to be straight up. I'm not pontificating today, baby. This is straight talk, no chaser. So if you don't like that, in the words of my idol, Mariah Carey. How about you get the fuck out? Okay, now that I gave that warning, back to 9 million of you bitches. Once again, this country willfully and blatantly and warrantly rejected the promise of a new day, an opportunity to have a more perfect union. Instead, you motherfuckers want to go back to what is tried and true: racism, sexism, xenophobia, homophobia, fascism, etc., etc., etc. Not surprising, very much jarring, but not really a shock. The shock wore off in 2016 on election night. Yet the day after election day in 2024, waking up and finding out Trump had won again was still like a doomsday. Again. An anti-utopia, if you will. Very eerie. It was like a part two of 2016, very much a sequel. Someone said on Instagram, it is American Horror Story inauguration season, the most terrifying season yet. Well, that is definitely befitting. But let's get back to Black women, since y'all folks are so concerned. We have nothing to say to you, host. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We are solemn and resolute and minding our Black woman business for now on, for the foreseeable future, basically. Screw you. Screw the kids, because there ain't no future for them anyway. The children are the future, my ass. Whitney wouldn't even co-sign this bullshit if she was here today. Like, did you see how Gen Z males voted? Those damn incels. Screw all the men. Yes, I'm officially a proud misandrist. My therapist said it's perfectly okay and natural to hate your oppressors. So I do it openly now. Screw every fucking body that did not vote for Kamala and Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. Oh, and screw everybody that backdoor Biden. I will never forgive you bastards for that. It was the unthinkable and unimaginable, and why we lost. White men, all men, and insecure male center pick-me's would have voted for Biden. I have full faith and confidence that Biden would have beat Trump, and Kamala would have beat Trump if 90 million people had voted. Biden would have won on name recognition alone, like Bernie Sanders does every year. Latinos would have also voted for Biden. You know they think they white proximal adjacent. A. My coworkers and I coined that phrase in 2017, so don't steal it or we will sue you. Needless to say, don't ask Black women for shit ever again. Like, we fundraised $1 billion for Kamala and supported her and Hillary over 92%. What more do you want from us? Yeah, we know you want our blood, sweat, and tears, but slavery has been over in its traditional form for a few decades now, so that's not happening. We are not marching with you, Becky, ever again. Never, ever again. I saw that little bullshit march y'all did Saturday on Washington, and it was pathetic. There were more people at Kamala's last speech in D.C., 70,000 people to be exact, more than it was for that puny march yesterday. And I know because I was at Kamala's last speech. It was riveting, all the feels. I really, for a moment in time, thought she was going to win. But I should have known better, child. Speaking of child, sidebar, did y'all see the exchange between Rep. Jasmine Crockett of Texas and Rep. Nancy Mace from South Carolina? Jasmine said child, and old girl said she wasn't a child, and they could step outside. ¿Qué? ¿Qué pasó? You little bad built bleach blonde butch body bitch. You wasn't fitting to do shit. Now shut up. Since their little incident, there are all these think pieces about African American terminology, and honey, it is simply FUBU. For us, by us. If you can't clock it, it's not meant for you to clock. But context clues, you know, what they teach you in junior high, will help you ascertain what Black folks are saying if you pay attention. But y'all don't. And instead, y'all are concerningly very aggressive very hostile, very dismissive when it comes to Black women. And that is why Trump is your president again. But I digress. If y'all had marched to the polls, we wouldn't be in this mess. So keep them refurbished pink hats from 2016 and shove it. I just truly can't believe 9 million eligible voters stayed home. Well, if you sat this election out, congratulations. This is probably your last time to vote. You will never have another one again. 90 million people, and Trump didn't get more votes. Democrats lost votes because folks stayed home. When I worked for Hillary's campaign in 2016, we had a slogan: when Democrats vote, Democrats win. You son of a bitches didn't vote. And so we didn't win. My God, the most consequential election. I know we say that every time, but when demagogues, Trump, and warmongers, Bush Sr. and Bush Jr., repeatedly run for office, it needs to be said over and over and over again until y'all get it. Well, understanding soon come. I quasi understand being apathetic to voting, but this was not the time for that bullshit. Grow the fuck up and think about your country for one. In the words of JFK, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And voting is the most simplest thing you can do, damn it. I voted by mail. You don't even have to leave the confines of your home. My God, politics isn't about you personally and who you like and don't like. It's about the betterment of this supposedly great nation. You selfish idiot asses. I will keep reiterating this. Politics isn't a pageant. Or maybe it is, since y'all elected the former owner of Miss America. What's most heartbreaking is Jimmy Carter lived to vote for Kamala and died watching Trump being reelected. There are no excuses. Jimmy lived to vote and you stayed home. You are a coward. And I have a poem that reminds me of y'all. I got it from The Crown, but it's actually by Charles McKay, entitled No Enemies. And it goes a little something like this. You have no enemies, you say. Alas, my friend, the boast is poor. He who has mingled in the fray of duty that the brave endure must have made foes. If you have none, small is the work that you have done. You've hit no traitor on the hip. You've dashed no cup from perjured lip. You never turned the wrong to right. You've been a coward in the fight. And that is my exact sentiments for the 90 million eligible voters that did not vote. I have more respect for those that boldly, brashly, brazenly voted for Trump. At least they are wholeheartedly committed to having a fascist regime. Now, someone tweeted, "The Democratic Party utterly failed to make the case against Trump," end quote. And I quote tweeted at TPT with Libby, follow me, "The case was simple, jackasses. Don't vote for a rapist, pedophile, lying Putin's puppet, decrepit. Fun fact, when Trump gets sworn in, he will be the oldest person to ever do so." So I thought y'all said Biden was old. I digress. "Demon, hateful, unintelligent, xenophobic, fear-mongering, tyrannical, treasonous, demagogue." Simple enough. The DNC shouldn't have to tell Americans with three Ks that. Open the schools. Most importantly, rest in peace to President Carter. I told y'all I would be in shambles the day he died, but fortunately for me, I am politically numb. Just like Biden, he will go down as one of the greatest presidents that was snaked by his very own party and country. How unfortunate. Rest in power. Sidebar, I know California Governor Newsom is trying to play political games with Trump and placate him, but disrespecting President Carter is not the way to play to Trump's tiny ego. If those flags are not half-staffed during the inauguration for President Carter, kiss your presidential run goodbye. The flags were half-staffed nationally on Inauguration Day for previous presidents that died before the inauguration. Despite it being unprecedented times, the same president should be followed. Speaking of President Carter, do y'all really think Obama wanted to speak to Trump at President Carter's funeral? Nobody wanted to sit next to that motherfucker. He tried to have three out of four of the people sitting there murdered. Like beef fucking for real. This man tried to get him killed with the birther movement bullshit in 2016. In the words of Biggie Smalls, get a grip, motherfucker. Obama can't do what other folks can do, like Pence's wife, shunning Trump, because he also tried to kill her almost 4 years ago to the day. If Obama had did that, the hit pieces would be palpable. And another thing, Michelle Obama is protecting her peace by not attending the inauguration and missing Jimmy Carter's funeral. But y'all forgot. Her mother just died, and grief is a bitch. I would stay home too. Frankly, all the former presidents and their spouses should stay home. What are you celebrating? What are you commemorating? The inauguration of the end of democracy at home and abroad? Apparently, none of the former presidents are going to Trump's inauguration lunch, but they shouldn't be in D.C. at all. Trump didn't go to Biden's inauguration. The old order of doing things is over. The all-boys club, decency and camaraderie amongst political foes, bend it. And folks need to end the charade and stop the pomp and circumstance. America with three K's. You in danger, girl. Cut the shit. Speaking of the inauguration, DC is going to be a tundra today, per usual. And Trump can't stand the rain. I mean, the cold. Well, it's a cold, cold world, bitch. Get used to it. Sorry, not sorry. DC doesn't have warmer pastures for you. This isn't Boca Raton. This isn't Mar-a-Lago. Get used to it. But you know this because you occupied 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue just 4 years ago. Button up and brave it. All recent presidents have had terrible weather on Inauguration Day, and they still celebrated outside. Just to name a few. In 1985, Ronald Reagan had to deal with 7 degrees. In 1961, it was 22 degrees for JFK. In 2009, it was 28 degrees for Barack Obama. In 1977, it was 28 degrees for Jimmy Carter. In 1941, it was 29 degrees for Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And then it was 33 degrees in 1937 for him. In 1997, for Bill Clinton, it was 34 degrees. In 2005, for George W. Bush, it was 35 degrees. 1969, for Richard Nixon, it was 35 degrees. 1945, for FDR, it was 35 degrees. But I suspect the move indoors is not about the weather, but about crowd size. Nobody wants to be seen praising him, even his own supporters. It's not a good look. No bueno. Remember last time he was inaugurated? No one showed up. And he used a picture of the crowd size from Obama's inauguration as his own. He's a thief. Such a tiny, puny man. It is so benefiting and amusing that the first people he screwed over on day one is his own electorate. Trump supporters that flew to the festivities are livid that it is no longer a public event. And thus they can't see it. One woman is online crying because she is not wealthy, and she said she paid the Hilton Hotel about 2,000 for two nights, which is usually 250 a night, and they will not give her a refund. Tough titties, toots. That is your karma for voting and supporting an immature, feeble-minded tyrant. The most concerning part about this election and looming inauguration is that the pigs are being walked to their slaughter and don't even know it. Y'all are more concerned about the end of a social media app than the fate of your country and democracy at large. My God, you fucking idiots. Remember, history people, Mussolini and Hitler didn't succeed at their diabolical plan the first time they were in power, or the first couple years. It wasn't until they were well into the reigns of terror, or for Hitler, his second term, that they succeeded in their master plan. And you just gave Trump his second chance. Wow. Some scholars said that there is a hyper-normalization of abnormalcy going on. And we can feel it, but we can't stop it. So we just keep going on. I say it's a normalization of insanity campaign and idiocracy and ignorance. Someone else said there is an anti-incumbent campaign going on. Cough. What happened to Biden and Trudeau? I say there are numerous campaigns going on, and one of them is an anti-intellectualism campaign. Hence why Trump wants to defund the DOE and ban certain curriculums in school. Sounds very Hitler Mussolini-ish. Also sounds very coon-ish with rappers Nelly, Snoop Dogg, Rick Ross, and Soulja Boy. Where'd they drag him from? Performing for Trump at an inaugural celebration. Remember what happened to Chrisette Michele when she did that bullshit in 2017? Good luck feeding your newborn baby, Nelly, and newborn grandchild, Snoop. But I knew Snoop wasn't shit when he called Gayle King a doghead bitch for asking a question that needed to be asked. There is a brand new show entitled Coon-ish coming soon to an inaugural ball near you. Enjoy. But I digress. I also have previously stated that there is an intentional misinformation campaign going on, blatant ignorance campaign, revisionist history campaign. Oh, Trump's first term wasn't so bad. You jackass. 1.1 million people died from COVID. Oh. There is a new virus on the rise across the country. Good luck. Trump handled the last pandemic perfectly. Remember, y'all got some chump change? I mean, $600. Y'all don't remember the night Trump called the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un, Rocket Man on Twitter, and he almost nuked us? Do you know that their missiles are pointed at us at all times? I see y'all want to wake up in hell. Ask the people in Hiroshima what facing weapons of mass destruction is like. Their babies are still being born with birth defects. In the words of Biggie Smalls, again, if you don't know, now you know. That's why Trump was kicked off Twitter. He tried to start World War III in the middle of the night via social media, and y'all giving him the nuclear codes and access again? Hillary told y'all the first time around that was a grave mistake. But now it's a psychotic one, a true psychosis. Hillary was right about every damn thing. There is also an erasure of history campaign for the obvious aforementioned reasons. Really quickly, because after today, I refuse to discuss this bullshit election ever again, let's break down the election by the numbers that count. Shall we? According to the exit polls, men voted for Harris 42% and voted for Trump 55%. Women voted for Harris 53% and voted for Trump 45%. By race, white people voted for Harris 41% and Trump 57%. Black people voted for Harris 85%. And 13% for Trump. Hispanic Latino people voted 52% for Harris and 46% for Trump. Asian people voted 54% for Harris and 39% for Trump. Other, 42% for Harris, 54% for Trump. By age, 18 to 29. That's Gen Z people. 54% for Harris, 43% for Trump. 30 to 44 year olds voted 49% for Harris, 48% for Trump. 45 to 64 year olds voted 44% for Harris, 54% for Trump. 65 and over voted 49% for Harris, 49% for Trump. By education level, college graduates voted 55% for Harris because they got common sense and a good education. 42% voted for Trump. People with no college degrees voted 42% for Harris and 56% for Trump, for obvious reasons. Now let's further break this down by gender. White men voted 39% for Harris and 59% for Trump. White women voted 47% for Harris and 52% for Trump. Black men voted 78% for Harris and 20% for Trump. Black women voted 92% for Harris and 7% for Trump. That's within the margin of error. Basically, Black women, once again, one band, one sound. Latino men, 44% for Harris, 54% for Trump. Latino women, 61% for Harris, 37% for Trump. All other races, 50% for Harris, 45% for Trump. In short, all generations fucked us. Every last one. The only demographic that didn't screw over this country is, drumroll please, Black women. Everybody else, y'all got problems. Y'all had questions, comments, and concerns. Very interesting. White people, men of all races, and shockingly, Native Americans. They voted 40% for Trump. Bet you by golly, wow, wow, wow. You can't make this shit up. I just feel bad for my generation, millennials. And boomers, a little bit. Like, we are literally fighting the good fight alone. The silent and great generation are holding on, but they are almost 100. Millennials just started having kids, which are Gen A. And the kids of the crack baby generation are prematurely having kids, which is Gen B. This is two idiot-ass generations coming up the turnpike. Now there's a hope from a kids of millennials, Gen A, because we were actually raised by boomers, so we will likely raise decent kids. But bruh, there won't be enough of them because millennials aren't conceiving like previous generations, and rightfully so. Hashtag 4B movement. This is not the time socially or economically to have kids. Millennials are fucked. We are stuck between two idiot-ass generations, and the only light at the end of the tunnel are boomers, which have their own problems because they blew through their retirement and have to go back to work en masse. Did you see that on the news? And then they have to take care of their aging parents and millennial kids because we refuse to move out. And our kids, whom we don't even want to have. Vishnu, Allah, Buddha, Jesus, and Jehovah, please send Megalodon to wipe us out. I know he's down there somewhere. Remember when Trump banned people from majority Muslim countries within the first month of his first term and had them stuck in the airport for days? How quickly y'all forgot. Well, Latinos, on day two of Trump's second term, he will begin deporting immigrants, starting in sanctuary cities, one being Chicago. Good luck with that. Now for the record, I know some of the Latino delegation don't care about this. And this is what some of y'all wanted. But the thing is, y'all act like they checking paperwork, baby. They never did check paperwork. If you look like you are from somewhere else, they will send you somewhere else. That's how ICE work. Remember that guy in Harlem, the restaurant owner that was deported back to Jamaica after calling the police because folks were in his establishment fighting. And they took him to Jamaica. They deported this man, and he was born and raised in NYC. Yeah, y'all conveniently forgot about that. Y'all forget about everything. Y'all shall soon remember. Oh, and he sued NYC and got a shit ton of money, like big money, because that's insanity. That man ain't never stepped foot in Jamaica. Imagine the first time you stepped foot in your parents' country, it's because you got deported there. That's insanity. That's absurd. And for those that voted third party, oh, I got some shit for you too. I have no words besides y'all are idiots. Like someone on Twitter said, Jill Stein comes around every 4 years during election season, like Bernie Sanders, to cause chaos and confusion, collect her check from Russia for being their pawn, puppet, and asset. Then she descends into the night, never to be seen again until the next election cycle. And y'all fall for it every time. Hook, line, and sinker. When will you learn? What bills have Stein and Bernie passed? Absolutely none. She's like a political Monica Lewinsky. She only pops up during election season to spew her bullshit. I can not. On Twitter, somebody called Stein or Bernie, I can't remember which one, election cycle herpes. And nothing has ever been more truer. I truly believe Bernie Sanders is the worst thing to ever happen to Congress and democracy. And without him, Hillary would have won, and the world would be a better place. He disgusts me. The irony is, right after I went to Kamala's live rally in DC, I went to Hillary's book tour at Carnegie Hall and actually got to meet my idol and give her my personal statement for law school, which was truly a dream come true, especially since my personal statement was a love letter to her. And guess what? She actually read it and sent a letter to my house 1 month later. I am still flabbergasted. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. In her letter to me, she quoted my law school essay where I said, working for her campaign taught me how to accept defeat without being defeated. Wow, I can't believe she quoted me. And I can't believe exactly 8 years after I worked for her 2016 campaign, that sentence holds truer now than it did then. Damn, the irony is ironying. Speaking of disappointments and disappointing numbers, here are all the major companies and CEOs that donated to Trump's inaugural fund. Robinhood, $2 million. Boeing, $1 million. Google, $1 million. Hyundai, $1 million. Microsoft, $1 million. Amazon, $1 million. Uber, $1 million. Ford, $1 million. Toyota Motor North America, $1 million. General Motors, $1 million. Intuit, $1 million. Meta Platform, $1 million. Delta Airlines, $1 million. Sam Altman, the CEO of ChatGPT and maker of OpenAI, donated $1 million. And so did Apple CEO Tim Cook. Trump fundraised over $170 million for his inaugural fund. Do with this information as you will. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, is getting rid of his social media platform's third-party fact-checker in the US. Now, why on earth would he do that days before a Hitler wannabe is to re-enter the White House? MySpace Tom would never. In short, to Kamala Demi Harris, you did a good job, girl. You did that. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. You got more votes than Hillary and Barack. And you did it in a shorter amount of time. And Black women still won. Because win or lose, we still had a Black woman as vice president. Quite possibly the only woman of any race to ever hold such a high office if the GOP has its way. We also have a Black woman on the Supreme Court, and the most Black women serving as federal judges, all thanks to President Biden and you. And that's why Black women aren't mad. We got exactly what we wanted when we elected Kamala and Joe, and we have no regret. We did it, Joe. We did it. Needless to say, it's not about if Kamala had more time to run. It's about if this country was less sexist, less racist, less idiotic, and more patriotic. Yet, Harris has the fourth most votes of any presidential candidate in US history, the most by any woman, and the second most by any Democrat ever. She's won about 4 million more votes than Barack Obama in 2008, 7.2 million more votes than Obama in 2012, 7.3 million more votes than Hillary Clinton, and 10.1 million more votes than Donald Trump in 2016. Enough said. Well done, Kamala. If you want to run again, do it. I personally wouldn't. I would sit in my mansion with my man and Callie and sit oh so pretty. But like Biden, you are a true servant of the people and the kind of person that will run until you win, just like him. So I understand. Third time's a charm, right? But if you don't run again, rest well knowing you are the first and not the last, and that is what your mother wanted for you. This past week, Biden was still working for the American people, working tirelessly, and giving extremely premature farewell speeches. He should be entering his second term. He said something in his final address to the country that really stood out to me, especially since Elon Musk will apparently have an office in the White House. Unprecedented. And I quote, "That's why in my farewell address tonight, I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern. And that's the dangerous concentration of power in the hands of very few ultra wealthy people, and the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead. We see the consequences all across America, and we've seen it before, more than a century ago. But the American people stood up to the robber barons back then and busted the trust. They didn't punish the wealthy. They just made the wealthy play by the rules everybody else had to. Workers won rights to earn their fair share. You know, they were dealt into the deal, and it helped put us on the path to building the largest middle class and the most prosperous century any nation the world has ever seen. And we've got to do that again. In the last 4 years, that is exactly what we've done. People should be able to make as much as they can, but play by the same rules. Pay their fair share in taxes. So much is at stake right now. The existential threat of climate change has never been clearer. Just look across the country, from California to North Carolina. That's why I signed the most significant climate and clean energy law ever, ever in the history of the world. And the rest of the world is trying to model it now. It's working, creating jobs and industries of the future. You know, we've proven we don't have to choose between protecting the environment and growing the economy. We're doing both. But powerful forces want to wield their unchecked influence to eliminate the steps we've taken to tackle the climate crisis to serve their own interests for power and profit. We must not be bullied into sacrificing the future of our children and our grandchildren. We must keep pushing forward and push faster. There is no time to waste. End quote. America with three K's, better take heed. Biden also said something eerily profound in his final address to the military. And I quote, let me close with a final request. I say it not as your president or commander in chief. I say it as a man who spent 50 years of his life serving his country in a different way. Remember your oath. End quote. Woo, cha. I like to add that the military and all Americans pledge allegiance to the flag, not the president. Remember that when the Orange Goblin asks you to do things that are not only unconstitutional and immoral and out of your job description, but also unpatriotic and un-American. During that ceremony, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin presented the Bidens with the Army's Distinguished Public Service Medal, which is bestowed upon individuals deemed to have made a substantial contribution to the Army's missions, leaving Biden in tears. Well deserved, especially since he is leaving office with the creation of over 60 million jobs, more than anyone else. The largest investment in infrastructure since Eisenhower, lower prescription drug costs, capped insulin at $35 per month, the largest investment ever to fight the climate crisis, student loan forgiveness for 5 million borrowers, the return of manufacturing back to America through the CHIPS and Science Act, the lowest average unemployment rate of any administration in 50 years, and my favorite fact, the appointment of more Black federal judges than any president, including a number of record-breaking Black women. Well, goddamn, Mr. President and Madam Vice President, y'all was on y'all Irish and Black job these past 4 years. Bravo. Speaking of medals, thank you, Mr. President, for giving medals of honor to Denzel Washington, Ralph Lauren, Go Diva Clinton High School, Fannie Lou Hamer, Jose Andres, RFK Sr., Never Jr., Bill Nye the Science Guy, and last but never least, my favorite recipient of all time, Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. Yay. In his last full day in office, he even pardoned, drumroll please, Marcus Garvey. Wow. Now, I'm not a big Garvey person because what you mean go back to Africa? My people built this bitch here, this one right here. But that was a nice final touch, Mr. President. He also pardoned 2,500 people this weekend, adding to the thousands of other people he pardoned, including his son. Good. With all that being said, to President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., thank you for everything. I watched the video montage for Biden yesterday and actually wept, like bawling, crying, like hyperventilating panic attack. History will be ever so kind to you. When you ran for office in 2020, you said that you would save the soul of this nation. And you did it, like you said you would. And I am eternally grateful for you. Black women are eternally grateful for you. You didn't have to do it, but you did. And you will go down as the FDR Jimmy Carter of the modern presidents. You have gone through hell and back personally and professionally, losing your wife and daughter on the same day, and decades later, losing your son. Then the GOP tried to take your other son. But despite it all, you have remained a true and steadfast public servant for the American people, while also remaining a decent, humble, classy, and gracious man. Simply a decent human being. A God-fearing man. Fun fact, Biden has gone to church more than any other president in modern history. No matter where he was in the world, from Europe to South Carolina, he held on to his faith and went to church, and that is admirable. The cloth Biden is cut from no longer exists. So, Mr. President, go back to Delaware and be a private citizen once again, and rest easy knowing that you continuously went above and beyond for your country. As a lawyer, a public defender, a city council member, the youngest senator to be sworn in, and one of the longest sitting senators, as vice president and as president, go be a great grandfather. He just became a great grandpa. Congrats on that. And write a book entitled Saving the Soul of This Nation, because that is exactly what you did. Thank you, Mr. President. And go orange. Can we be an Ivy League now? We got a president. Cough, cough. As for the Caucasian caucus, enjoy these next 4 years, because the stats have stated for decades that white people's days on the planet are numbered. So enjoy your last hurrah, because 2050 will be here before you know it. And if we all survive till then, you're going to look around and no one will look like you. Your white fears will be actualized. Now gulp that tea with bourbon. For Democrats that voted for Kamala, enjoy this last day of sanctity. Revel in it, because the normalcy you have become acquainted to in the last 4 years is quickly slipping away and will likely never return. It ends in exactly 8 hours. Sadly, America is not the only place that is fucked. From Europe to Africa, the entire world is fucked royally. Send a meteorite and wipe us all out at this point, like the dinosaur. We do not deserve to live and continue on as a nation, as a global society. My advice solely for Black women for the next 4 years is to live your best life while you can do it. Fuck everyone else. Simply do you, boo. Go find your blue bird of happiness. Well, folks, that's Nick's Tape on America with 3 Ks. 2025 is the reckoning of America, the fuck around and find out season. Here we are. Thank you for listening to my political pontification. If you liked it, loved it, or hated it, ask yourself, did I lie? Exactly. Now go tell a friend and tell a friend to tune in and check out my Twitter, TPT with Libby, and my website, thepoliticaltea.com. You can generously donate to my chai latte habit on it.